Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Gifts of the Spirit in operation in his house. The gift of tongues goes forth and interpretation of that happens. And that is the power that we see demonstrated in the first church. I don't know about you, but we're still living in that time. We're still living in that time where his power is manifesting by his Spirit. And it's interesting how Yahweh is really moving, because our desire, I don't know, have you ever felt like you only get so far and you're not really breaking through? You know that there's something more, but something is holding you back. Well, that's what happens to believers when they don't yield to the Spirit. And the problem with us is that, you know, we want to dip our toe in the water, but we don't want to go all the way in. We want to occasionally, you know, get a little touch, but are we really turning it all over to him? Many of you have said that. I can only go so far. So what have you been talking about? The greater work? But that comes from acknowledging where your help comes from and acknowledging that you can't do nothing without being in his Spirit. Does anybody know that today? And so that's what he... Who wants the power unleashed? And that's what it's about. It's about that power being released. But it's all about you. You have to allow that power to be unleashed. How we do that? Go to Galatians. I love Galatians. Because Shaul, or Paul, was writing to these different churches. So when you see Ephesus, he was writing to the church. I mean, Ephesians, he was writing to the church in what? Ephesus. When you see Galatians, he was writing to the church in what? Galatia, right? When you see Romans, he was writing to the church in what? This is what I love about these chapters that we see in the New Testament. They were about y'all. Who are y'all? Look at your neighbor and say, church people. Y'all something else. You church people. You believers. I mean, you think that you got it all. You know, but you're not operating. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. What is a form of godliness? Well, you know, Keith, you think you're looking mighty sharp in that suit, don't you? But sometimes we put on that suit and we think, you know, I'm holy. I'm going to church. It ain't about that, Sue. Langston's looking mighty fly in that blue shirt that he got on, but it don't mean he got it all together. Somebody, he said they don't. But we put forth that persona. But are we really allowing the power to operate in our lives? Are we really yielding to that? Are we really living what we are perpetrating? That's a bad word, huh? Perpetrate. That has a bad connotation, right? It don't sound real. I got schooled by one of my young people. I like to stay, you know, I'm almost 50 years old. You saying wow. But I'm always surprised at the vernacular. So I was in Bible study Wednesday, and one of the young people said, we were talking about how if you're saying something and you don't really mean it, the new word is capping. You cap. So if you are talking, but you don't really mean what you say, you're just talking to be talking, you know, saying, hey, girl, you look good, but you know that you really don't think she look good. That's called capping, right? So you call it lying if you want, but I know some Christian cappers. Y'all just capping, you know, you're not really invested in your walk. You are skating, perpetrating, fronting, faking, shaking. Give me another one. Wearing camouflage. What up? All these things that we're doing. So Paul, Shaul is his Hebrew name. We love Hebrew names because it gives that, those are the original names, and also gives us the deep meaning, what they originally designed to mean and say. And so Paul, or Shaul in the Hebrew, he was instructing these church folks. And if you listen to the way he was talking, it was like he was addressing unbelievers sometimes. Because of church folks, we have a tendency to think that we are okay, and then we start tripping. But it's I don't know about you, but my walk is constant. I got to keep checking myself. I got to keep every day, you know. You know, you can go from being all right to sin in 60 seconds. Right? You can. But you got to keep on what? Allowing him to renew that mind in you. Okay, so if we look at Galatians, he's talking to some folks that have lost their way. See, we are guilty of this a lot because have you ever tried to help somebody and you've helped them like to a point and then they say, okay, I got it, but you know that they don't got it, you still are trying to help them, and you know that there's more that they need to know. But instead of them, you know, accepting the help and being humble, they say, I got it. And they end up going their own crazy way, and they mess the thing up. Some of y'all like that. You're like, mm-hmm, I know somebody. Well, do you know yourself? So they came into a knowing of Yeshua. They came into a knowing of the Holy Ghost and then decided that they were going to slip back into their own thinking. So this is what is going on. So if I could express this the way he did, Galatians, the third chapter, the first verse. If you got it, Galatians 3:1. Oh, you foolish Galatians. Well, I thought everything in the word was supposed to be nice and sweet and encouraging. Well, some of it is instructive and admonishing. Well, he should have came another way. No, he needed to tell them exactly what the way, where they were. You fools. And if I said that to y'all, y'all would be offended. But you got to look at yourself. And he said, oh, foolish Galatians, you church people, who has bewitched you? Who knew you? Who done got you tricked and who put a hoodwink, bamboozled? Who did that? Because it wasn't me. I gave you the truth. And then you decided that you were going to go into another crazy way. Isn't that what y'all do sometimes? The word is telling you how you should live your life. And then you say, I got this. And then next week, you're like, oh, God, help me. And with his mercy, grace, and love, but what did he do? He help you again. Right? Who told you? Who bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth. It was the truth that got you here. So it should be the truth that carries you the rest of the way. But no. He says, before whose eyes Yeshua Mashiach has been what? Evidently. When you accepted him, there was a clear way of where to go. And now you have decided that you're not going that way. Wasn't he crucified among you? And so the second verse says what? This only would I learn of you. You received the Spirit by the works of the law. Or did you get them what? So he's saying, hey, you came this far in Yeshua in the Spirit. Now you want to go back to the old way of doing stuff in the law. And the law was the first books, right? Of Moshe. And so he says, this is what I'm telling you. You got something brand new. You got the Holy Spirit. You had it in, you were doing stuff the old way, but now he's giving you a new dispensation through Yeshua in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given you power. The Holy Spirit is what? Training you, teaching you, leading you. And now you want to go back to the old okie doke? You want to go back to the old stuff? That's like if we bought you a brand new car, a 2017 Mercedes S-Class with a Maybach package. Apostle said, yeah. But instead, you want to drive the 1962 Bug. Right? That is, you want to drive the hoopty. You want to drive the bucket. But I provided you this. Why are you going back to the bucket, the old way of doing things? So he said, check this out. Did you get here? Did you get the Spirit by doing the old stuff? Or did you get the Spirit by the hearing of faith? Wow. So the Holy Spirit moved on me in my old stuff way of doing things, or did he move on me in the new hearing of faith? So if the Spirit brought me this far, Why am I going back? We used to sing an old song. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on what? The Lord. Trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Do you know what that means? Them folks knew they was writing some songs back then. What does that mean? We've come this far by faith. That's what this is saying. You've come this far. You've made it. You've succeeded. You've excelled. You've elevated this far by faith. So why wouldn't you continue in faith? And so 3 says, are you so foolish? What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Don't you see that your victory, your success lies in the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Yeshua? So why would you turn away from that and digress, right? And so he says, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Perfect means, in the translation, mature. So you've been trained up in the spirit and now you're going to mature in the flesh? Tell your neighbor, that's backwards. It's backwards. Why would you go back? Why would you slide down the hill? That's what's wrong with us. We get so far, and then things is going good, ain't they? I mean, things, you know, you cruising, and then you get to the point where, hey, things are going good. I think I got this. You cannot do anything without the power of Yahweh operating in your life. Check this out. You can do some stuff, but it's not going to go anywhere. Right? I mean, if you do something by your own power, that means you got to maintain it by your own power. But if you do something in his power, he'll maintain it in his power. And guess what? Who gets the benefit of it? You get the benefit and he gets the glory. These were believers who thought that they, you know, had it all wrapped up. He asked them a question. Are you so foolish that having begun in the spirit and having all this power, you're now made perfect in the flesh? And so the next verse says, let's go to 5. Oh, 4, go back. He says, have you suffered? Things get so good that you forgot the suffering that you had to do when you were outside of him? And now you want to go back to that? Is our thinking so stinking that we would not remember those hard times that we went through when we were outside of him? I mean, does anybody remember the mistakes they made? Well, I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but, you know. Do you remember you bumping your head up against that problem or that situation because you got yourself into it? And did you know how you got out of it? By the grace and mercy of Yahweh. So why would you go back to that? That's why we only get so high and then we start sliding back down. And then we get so high and then we start sliding back on. And then we get so high and then what? Guess what? You want to stay in a constant state of going high? High in the spirit. I need to let y'all nouveau folks know. He said keep getting high. No, in the spirit. Tell your neighbor, in the spirit. And so it says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? And the fifth verse is, he therefore, that ministered to you the Spirit. The apostles were bringing that Spirit. They were ministering to them in the Spirit, telling them about the Holy Ghost. And along with that, guess what they were experiencing? Miracles. The working of, you saw this. Even in your own life, did you not go through a situation and you knew that it was a miracle that brought you through? Because there was no earthly reason how you could have got through that. Maybe you had something in your body going on. Maybe the doctor said that there was something. And you, there was nothing earthly that you could do but to say, hey, pray for me. By his stripes, in his stripes, I am healed in the name of Yeshua. Intercede with me. Pray with me. And guess what? You went back to the doctor and the doctor says, we can't find it. We don't know what happened. Maybe you were misdiagnosed. He showed you that. That was in his spirit. Right? Work of the miracles. Did that happen by the works of the law? Or did it happen by the hearing of faith? There's something that happens when you receive the word of faith. See, before the Holy Spirit came, before all that power came, even before the Torah came, we had a man named Abraham. And Abraham, there was no Torah for him. Abraham was operating strictly on the principle of faith. Yahweh spoke to him and said, go thee out, leave your father's house. Some of y'all are still in your father's and your mother's house. And he told him, get ye out. And he didn't even know, Abraham did not even know where he was going. He had no idea where he was going. But in faith, he believed Yahweh's word was true. And because he did that, he was obedient. And guess who led him? Yahweh. Some of y'all, he's told you, get thee out. He's told you how to get out of a situation. He has tried to lead you out, but you did not possess the faith to trust him and be obedient to his word. Even right now, some of y'all are in situations. Right now, that you're leaning to your own understanding instead of leaning to the power of his spirit and what his word is saying. He said, this happened by the hearing of faith. And the sixth verse says, even as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same children of Abraham. What's stopping you from getting to the next level is your faith. He even told, Yeshua told the disciples, he says, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you get the promise with that power. Where is that at? That's in Acts. Let's turn to Acts 1, and I'm going to show you something. The first chapter of Acts, this is where the church starts. And before Yeshua ascends and says, hey, I'm getting ready to get out of here. But before I go, I got to tell you something. And he says this, go to Acts 1:4, and he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have what? Heard of me. Don't do nothing until the promise comes. Don't do anything until that move, that power, that move of power, that move of authority comes. Go to the second chapter of Acts. Let's put it together. Now, I'm not teaching on Pentecost, but I wanted you to get something. What did he tell them to do? Tell your neighbor, wait. Say, don't do nothing until the promise appears, until you're endued with that power. Get this, until you're endued with that power that's going to lead you, don't do nothing. Tell your neighbor, I said, don't do nothing until the power comes. Well, guess what? It still works like that today. When you make a decision, don't do nothing until the Holy Spirit moves and speaks on you to do something. No, no, no. You better get that. You think that, oh, well, I'm going to do this. And hold up. Just like he commanded them, he's commanding you. You need to be still. Don't do nothing. Don't make any rash decisions until you consult with the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all do that? Don't raise your hand. You in the sanctuary. You might not be telling the total truth. Because even last week, he tried to tell you something. And you say, I got it. No, they're giving me more money. I'm going to take it. Wait, hold. But it's in Alaska. Did he tell you to move to Alaska? Well, he don't manifest this. You know, I'm getting $100 an hour. But I can't take my kids and I can't take my husband. But I'm going to Alaska. Well, is that what he said? Let me tell you a secret. Yahweh got good jobs, right? Guess what? The devil got good jobs too. Oh, he got good jobs. He got jobs that's going to keep you out of church for the rest of the year. He got jobs that's going to take you away from your family and make y'all split up probably. That's his job. Your job is to lean to the understanding of the Holy Ghost so that you will be able to know the difference between Yahweh's jobs and the devil's jobs. Your eyes getting big because it say $100 an hour. Who are you serving? You serving the $100 an hour or you serving Yahweh? The brother said, but it sounds good, don't it? That's his job. His job is to have an anti-type for you. Hoping that you're so disconnected from the Holy Spirit that you'll fall for it. And guess what? Some of y'all done fell for it. Oh, he gave me a house. Where is your house? Oh, it's 300 miles away. But that's okay. I'm going to keep on driving in every week. Really? You're going to do that twice. It's a big house. 6 bedrooms. Pool in the back. But you only need 1 bedroom. And you don't even know how to swim. But we get caught up in the hype. Is it really him leading? And so, come, that's what we got to do. We got to know the difference. So go here. Hallelujah. So go to 2nd chapter of Acts, first verse. And what does it say? And when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. There were what? Mm. Mm. told them to wait. And then, when they were in one accord in one place, something happened. What does that tell you? When waiting lines up, when obedience lines up, when the expectation of faith lines up, then the move of Yahweh happens. If they were not in one accord in one place, would it have happened? They had to align themselves up with what he said. He said, wait. Everybody was together. Everybody's. So I dare say to you, that's the principle. First of all, y'all need to wait. Waiting means you have the belief and the faith that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. And once you set yourself up to wait, when you set yourself up to be obedient, when you set yourself up knowing, hey, I have faith, I believe that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Guess what? Boom! It happens. Right? Problem is, y'all don't wait. You rush in. And somebody wrote a song, Fools Rush In. And doesn't that fit perfectly with Galatians? Oh, you foolish, Galatians. You're just mind-led. So let's go here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians real quick, and I'm going to wrap this up. The second chapter. Faith comes by hearing. You don't have enough faith, you're not doing enough hearing. And hearing by what? The word. Every time you hear that word, something happens. When I see other people operate in faith and he moves on their behalf, something happens. Something happens in me. When I see you come back and you say, hey, intercessors, pray for me that this, thus, and thus happens. And then when this, thus, and thus happens, I get excited. Because I say, hey, guess what? This works. And so 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the 13th verse says what? For this cause, also, thank we Yahweh without ceasing, because when we received the word of Yahweh, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. So you received it, right? And the word of Yahweh, which effectually, what? Worketh in also you. So when you hear that word, it's not like, listen, this ain't my word. I just know that it works. This is his word. And when you hear this word, you got to be able to receive it and say, no, that's not Pastor Tom talking. That's the word of Yahweh. I don't want nobody going out here talking about, well, Pastor Tom said, no. Pastor Tom is only repeating what the word of Yahweh says. I'm trying to help y'all out. I'm just a voice in the wilderness. Well, voice in Long Beach. Just trying to tell you that this word is true, right? And if you believe it, it's going to do something in you. It's going to what? Work in you that believe. And see, I'm only up here for 45 minutes. Let me tell you about a church service. Go to Nehemiah. I'm only here for 45 minutes, too, if you even give me that. Some of y'all's eyes are already batting. Now, nobody told you to stay out all night. That's what you did. You want this to work in you so that your faith is increased, that you can get that breakthrough, that you can get to the next level. Go to Nehemiah, the 9th chapter. Some of y'all need to have this kind of church service. See, totally, we're here from 11 to like 1:15. But let me tell you about this service. I don't know if y'all can handle this. Nehemiah, are you there? Now, if you're a Hebrew scholar, it's what? Nehemiah. Oh, I love that. I like, It doesn't sound better. Nehemiah. So let's go to Nehemiah 9. First verse. Now, in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. 2. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of their fathers. 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of Yahweh, their Elohim, 1/4 part of the day. Okay? In Hebrew custom, a whole day is 12 hours. So if they were reading the word for 1/4 of the day, you do the math. They stood up and read the word for 3 hours. Wait, hold up. I haven't even got to the next part. Can y'all sit up and read the word or listen to? Because see, somebody was reading the word, the other folks were listening to the word. Can you sit up there and let somebody read the word and talk about the word for 3 hours? Ooh, I guess I got my answer. But when they were listening to that word for 3 hours straight, something was what? Happening. Can you yield yourself to 3 hours, a fourth of the day, the word? You won't even read for 10 minutes. This church service right here, I think I like that.
Tell your neighbor, I don't know.
That's what y'all saying. Wait, you know what? That's probably what'll happen. If I tell you, hey, we're going to have a word marathon, I'll probably be the only one standing here in the third hour. Check this out. Then they stood up and read 1/4 part of the day and another 1/4 part, third verse, another 1/4 part, they confessed and worshiped Yahweh. So they had 3 hours of word and another 3 hours of worship. Come on. How many hours is that?
Six.
Can y'all do 6 hours? Debbie says she can do it. Evangelist says he can do it. Mother says she can do it. Come on, mother says, Stephanie says she can do it. Who else could do that? Okay, well, hold up. I'm not trying to set you up for a 6-hour service. But this is what I'm saying. If our faith is increased when we're in that atmosphere, who would do it? Who would do that in that atmosphere? So guess what? This is what was happening in that atmosphere. So the 4th verse, then they stood up on the stairs of the Levites, Yehoshua, and Bani, and Kadmiel, and Shebaniah, and Bunny, and Sherebiah, and Bani, and Shenaniah. This is the praise team. And guess what they did? They cried with a loud voice unto Yehovah, their God. And in the 5th verse it says, then after that the Levites, Yehoshua, and Kadmiel, and Bani, and Hashbaniah, and Sherebiah, and Hodijah. Ooh, these are some wonderful names. Shebaniah and Pethaniah said, hey, you guys, stand up and bless Yahweh, your Elohim, forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all the blessings and praise. Thou, even thou, art Yahweh alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heavens of heavens with all of their hosts, the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the hosts of the heavens worship thee. Thou art Yahweh, the God, who didst chose Abraham. Abram and brought him forth out of Ur, out of the Chaldees, and gave him the name of Abraham. And you founded his heart faithful before thee, and made a covenant with him, and to the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to him give it. I say to you, his seed hath performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and did see the afflictions of our fathers in Egypt, and heard us their cry by the Red Sea, and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all of his servants and all of the people of the land that thou knewest, and dealt proudly against him. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. Come on and praise him for that stuff. That's a lot of stuff. Give him praise. Hallelujah. That's what he did. That's the God that we serve. That's what he does. They remembered everything that he had brought them out of. Think about everything that he's brought you out of, and give him praise for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, yeah. Our desire is to break through. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father, for your word. We thank you and praise you for your name. We thank you and praise you for all the things that are at our disposal by the power of the Holy Ghost working in our lives. Our desire, Father Yahweh, is our faith to increase. And in that process, Father Yahweh, we trust you. We believe you. We follow you. We're obedient to you. We won't forget what you have brought us out of, that you want us higher. You're moving us higher and higher and higher. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We do not take it for granted. So right now, Father, minister to us the things that you are working in our lives. Minister to us the importance of staying connected to your word, staying within the power of the Holy Spirit. And all we have to do is watch you work. And you're working it out, and you're working it out, and even now you're working it out for our favor. You're working it out for our good. And we're resting and trusting. So we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Be seated really quickly, and please close your eyes. Bow your heads. And we do this because we just want to allow the Holy Spirit to just minister to those that I'm going to ask this question to, and those that are believers that have a relationship, you're just interceding. And so right now we're asking, if you're one of those people that say, hey, I want this relationship. I want what you're talking about. The relationship that comes where I can trust him, where I can give him my life, where I can start brand new. I want that in my life. And if you said, if that's you that says that you want that, all you have to do is just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. We'll pray that that brand new life be risen up in you. If you want that. Next, maybe you have had a relationship, but you've drifted away. You're not as close as you used to be. And you know you need to come back. You know that he's calling you back. You know that he wants to restore you. He wants to restore the joy of your salvation. He wants to restore everything that the canker worm tried to take away from you. He wants to give it back. And you say, I want restoration today. I want to start back again where I used to be in him. If that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for restoration. Hallelujah. That's one. Restoration, that's two, restoration. Hallelujah. Keep your head bowed. If you rose your hand for any of those reasons, I just ask that receive that today by coming up here, praying with me, praying with us. Hallelujah. that these things be manifested in your life, not tomorrow, but today. And have that happen today. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand for any of those things, just come with me right now. Heads are bowed.